Welcome to episode 5 of the Nags and Bags podcast. And this episode is a bonus Jonas. Do you know that there's four Jonas brothers? And there's a younger one called Frankie, and he gets called the bonus Jonas. Did you know that?
I did not know that, no.
Well, but yeah, this is a bonus Jonas episode, everybody, for all you COP26ers.
We are just the gift that keeps on giving.
I agree. You can actually see, tell you something about the demographics, right, that we can share with you old listener. A lot more males listened to the last episode. What was the last episode? Engagement chat.
You're a heartbreaker.
Yeah. A lot of heartbroken men out there were tuning in.
I said it was like take me out with a light squirt. Woo, 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 woo. It's like when they find out.
Suitors.
Suitors. So for back in period times. Could you find me a suitor?
The big man pulled out the bag.
Or they're taking tips for their other half.
If you were a man listening to the last episode, tell us why. Did Cassie break your heart? Or did you just want tips on how to propose to your girlfriend? Let us know.
You never know, the engagement might not last. You can't, you know, you can't predict anything.
No, we're joking. 2 weeks in. We're 2 weeks bloody in.
No, it's been a lovely 2 weeks. Things have changed massively. I mean,
have they actually changed?
I'm coming in to my dinner every night, sex every night. No, it's all a lie. And I bet the moment I told you the sex part, you went, it's all a lie.
That's so funny.
No, it's nothing has changed. But I've kind of asked for that. I said I don't want anything to change right now. I don't want to talk weddings. We put a ban on it until the end of the year. I sound like such a rotten bitch, but no,
I have to say, do you know something? I liked your Twitter post that said Cass B has a nice ring to it, because I thought it does. That's a big part of marrying somebody. You couldn't marry somebody with a honky-tonk second name.
Yeah,
it's a good nickname. Well, also, talking about the last episode, I would like to clarify that I am not the only glass snob in the country.
Yes.
And actually, the world is full of glass snobs. That was we had a target market there that I didn't know existed. I did a poll on my Instagram. Do you care? Does the shape of a glass affect the drink? 1,355 people said yes.
Oh my god.
70 people said no. So look, the world is full of glass snobs. Sort your glasses out, everybody.
Bars, but see, like, scientifically, it doesn't change the taste.
It changes the vibe, which changes the experience, which changes the taste.
That's a load of shite.
That sounded like an advert. Changes the vibe, it changes experience.
Visit Scotland.
Yeah, that's the total energy it was giving me as well. But yeah, no, a lot of people are against the stubby glasses. So guys, if you're listening with some stubsters in the cupboard, chuck them out. Because people will bitch about you behind your back. And rightfully so. Actually, it made me laugh very much. I don't know if it was on the podcast, Instagram. It might be my personal one because I was talking about glasses. But a girl sent us a message saying, my mother-in-law gave me Prosecco with an ice cube and one of those stubby glasses. Should I get married to her son? And I said no.
Or should I chuck it over her?
Should I run for the fucking hills, girl? And bring my own glass.
You'll get a shout out in the speech. Roisin, this is for you. We've put you that. Yep, see that wine glass in front of you? It's different to everyone else's because you, my friend, you helped us get here.
You are a snobby bitch.
What else has been happening in the week of Roisin, in the world of Roisin?
What I've been up to? Well, I haven't been up to anything. Long story short. The long and short of it has been doing fuck all. But, exciting shout out to Megan and Katie, who you know.
Yes.
Megan and Katie Bickett, who've just got a cat called Sunny. It's so cute. So I went and met their little kitten. But they got it the day before Halloween, so I think its middle name should be Pumpkin. And Megan's last name's Wilson, and Katie's last name's Bickett, so it's called Megan. It's called Sunny Pumpkin Wilson Bickett, which I think's got a ring to it. Doesn't roll off the tongue, but you know, it's lovely. Sort of like celeb name. But anyway, I was renting the cat Halloween night, and as I said, this can be my news of the week, because I don't have anything that I've been up to. But this was a nag, right? See, kids nowadays. Kids nowadays are cheeky wee bastards. So people came to the door. Kids came to the door. Didn't even tell a joke or sing a song
just
on Halloween.
Just expecting sweets.
Well, I tell you something. We didn't actually open the door because all we could give them would be like a pound coin, a cigarette, 3 chocolate buttons. So it would have been like trick or treating in prison. So we didn't open the door. But That's what it would be. Sorry. It would have been like a trade-off in jail. Yeah, I know. They would have been singing for their bloody supper that night, because that's what we could have given them. We could have given them a KFC hot wing to a Starburst KFC chip that's cold.
A couple of monkey nuts, a tangerine and 2 pence.
Oh, God, I remember when you used to go to the house with the fucking nuts and tangerines. You should have told me a joke. Anyway, right. Shall we get into the guest chat? Because have we got an exciting guest for you guys today?
What's guests?
Guests.
We reached out.
Well, Cathy says we reached out. I emailed and said a few things in the email in a certain tone that I would probably only say to a close friend. Turns out Cathy didn't actually even know these guys.
No.
Well, she did know them through social media.
No.
But you know that way when you know somebody through social media, aka you don't know them. And they probably read it and thought, what the fuck? But you know, they agreed to come on the podcast anyway, and they were very kind about it. So here we are.
So needless to say, Roisin's email worked, which was good for us, because if they'd come back and said no, then we'd be fucking stuck for a guest.
It would have been so embarrassing.
And it's a great pleasure to have them on. You'll know these boys from hearing their song on the radio, signed to Atlantic Records, big things to come, already toured with Youngblood and Lewis Capaldi. It's St. Phoenix. Yes! Ooh. How are you?
Fantastic. Hey, Jake.
James. Did you rehearse that?
Everybody always asks you, how are you? And we always just bang on the money, say fantastic at the same time. Is our old dad used to say, if it was any better, I couldn't stand it. That's what we'd say.
That's a lovely scene.
Right. What would say? I'm all the better for seeing you.
All the better for seeing you.
I like that.
Well, that's nice as well. Do
you know what made me embarrassed? Did you see those things on Twitter that's like, your bird does this? And it's like, your bird says, what's the damage when you buy a round of drinks? I do that. And that's another one. Well, don't maybe do that one. Or I would say, it's like your bird.
Very funny, actually.
Your bird smacks her leg and says, right, we're off. I was like, what the fuck's wrong with that? And then when you just said that, like, all the better for seeing you, that's sort of, I was like, I need to rein this in.
That's it.
It's getting to the point, women should be seen and not heard, because I was like, if I fucking speak, I'll be on Twitter.
It's universal, you can see one, but it is quite funny. It is a kind of guyish thing you do, a da thing you do, and then your bird says it. That is quite funny.
I see what the old boys say. That's what I do.
We carry old school. We grew up with good old working men, so we can incorporate some of that stuff.
Grew up with still game, that's the thing. It's all the old pattern.
Because even we go on tour and stuff, and we go to, we play in Germany and all the rest of it, we use all the old still game phrases and that, and just nobody has a clue what we're saying. We're just having the absolute best time, because nobody else gets it apart from us.
Right, so we'll get right into the nags and brags.
Right.
Let's do it, baby. That was a dad thing to say, now I'm embarrassed. Going to be watching all my phrases.
Stevie, we'll start with you.
There's a couple of nags. There's a generic universal nag, because we were having a wee chat off camera about Facebook. One of the things is, when the kids go back to school, I don't want to see your kids. Nobody's bothered. Nobody's interested about seeing your kid at the front gate of the school or standing at the door. Nobody cares, right? So that's probably one.
Cancel St. Phoenix.
I'm being honest, and I'm just speaking for everybody else.
Are you okay with the Halloween outfits? No. Let everyone know?
No, because the most... Well,
I waste it. Chat the door, no bother. You can get your sweeties and that's it.
Well, you don't think mums and dads should be showing off their kids in their best costume?
I guess they can. It's just that...
No, because there's always one person that's got a shite costume and they put a picture up. Do you know what I mean? That's going to be in their 18th birthday, their 21st, running about a bowling club. Picture. Do you know what I mean? That's embarrassing.
Telescope to the wall.
Facebook in general. That's it. See when somebody puts up something like, guess I'll never trust that person again or something, and say, what's up? What's up, hun? Or doesn't matter. Or DM me. It's like
DM me,
attention seeking and all the rest of it.
The man nag is, there's so many, like, a couple of people have added me on Facebook and you bump into them, blatantly ignore you. And they're all right because we've got masks, like, we're masking and they'll smile. But you kind of smile back. You know when someone's smiling through a mask?
Do you?
You know what I mean? Aye.
Yeah, right. Smiling with their eyes. That's what Tyra Banks is all about.
You get that with folks who add you on Facebook. Then you go to Tesco or something, and then you see them and you smile, and then they just ding at you. And it's like, what's going on?
I know.
Weird. You literally friend request me last week. Now you're just not saying hello.
Nah, I'm the same. I hate it. I hate when people add you and they don't talk to you. And it's weird. It makes things even weirder
Aye.
When you meet them.
I think somebody adding you on Facebook in general in this day and age is fucking bizarre. I think, what do you want on me?
Aye.
Yeah, we get a lot of just random requests, and it is kind of like, what is the score here?
You're not there for like a relationship. You're not there to like somebody's pictures and see what you're there for information.
Exactly.
They want to know things.
It's weird when an older person adds you on Facebook, and then it's like that, kind of like they waved at you, they've poked you or something. You know what I mean?
Aye.
That annoys the life at me.
Mary McGill has poked you. Excuse me. Do you know what I mean? That's just too much.
You click on the page and it's like 1945. Do you know what I mean?
Weird.
Date of birth, you're like, name God's sake.
The old folk like to poke and wave, didn't they?
They love a poke and a wave.
I forget that that's even a thing, because I've not been on Facebook for so long.
You don't
long.
Have Facebook?
No, like I came off it when I was younger.
Like, were you like addicted 30? To Facebook when you were like 13?
It's all that stuff does, man. Nothing.
It's a good if Andy, I don't put any personal stuff on.
You know what happened to me recently on Facebook? I forgot all about this. I had to block somebody on Facebook. It's 2021. I'm blocking people on Facebook. And it was this guy, right?
Hi, thanks very much.
And he looked, now that you say it, there was this bad guy, and I don't think his profile picture was him, and he looked sort of like Slenderman. He had long hair and he had a top hat on. Billy, he was like, hi, Roisin. Just spotted that you've bought a ticket for Supermax History of Disco. I was like, where did you spot this? Because I fucking never. He was like, see you Saturday for a good time, B. I was like,
B. Oh,
whoa. And then it was like,
I show you.
And then a week later, about something for the Berkeley suite, right? I've not been out in about 3 years. Hit going for my pal. Big Berkeley suite 10th birthday celebrations incoming. I was like, Billy, what part of this? What part of me not replying to you ever at all and then
the
not accepting?
But you've left him on red, and he's taking that as if, right, she's got the message.
And then, do you know what he started doing, which was even, right, so this was annoying me, because I was just like, stop messaging me, because I've not replied to you, and I declined your friend request, so actually, how can you even message me? Hey, Roisin, hope you had a great time last Saturday. I was like, I wasn't there! I told you I wasn't going, and then he's actually doing follow-up messages, so I had to block him.
Quite right.
So, the only thing I use Facebook for is to make my mum put up pictures of me, and then all our friends are like, oh, she's so good looking. And I'm like,
oh, that's a nag, by the way. That's one of the nags.
I like that.
Throw it
in. Do you know what was a great era of Facebook? Looks, personality, closeness. There was people that were, remember that? Tell me you know what I'm talking about. You must know what I'm talking about. When people used to say, like, for this, don't make me, I'm being gaslit here. Don't make me spell this out. So it was like, if you liked it, they would rate your looks and your personality and how close you are. And it would be like, looks, 7. Closeness, 10. Personality, 8.
Is that
and
right?
You'd be like, thank you so much. Thank you.
That's what Facebook was originally for, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm not talking recently. I'm talking
sorry.
I'm talking like last year. No, I mean like fucking 10 years ago.
No, that's what it was, you're right. And that's just all pretentious nonsense. All the rubbish. But that was one of my nags. My main nag that I was actually going to talk about was, and Alan's going to not want me to talk about this because I've gone it all the time, but I've got celiac disease, right? So I'm gluten-free.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to be gluten-free all the time. And I don't think there's enough done from supermarket chains to restaurants, all the rest of it, to have ready, available, gluten-free takeaway food.
I agree.
I honestly didn't see that coming there. Do you know, I honestly thought you were going to say, and this is only from watching you guys on TikTok, I thought you were going to say you had a problem with your flatulence.
That's systemic from the celiac.
Guys, have you ever listened to us? I have IBS and it's all I talk about. So you are in a safe place.
We're on the right pod.
They thought I had celiac, and then they were like, you don't. I was like, oh.
You don't want it.
No, you definitely don't want it.
Dude, luckily you can't catch it, you're born mate, so it's all right. Yes.
So you don't think that restaurants do enough? You don't put enough on the menu?
Okay.
Restaurants are all right, but for instance, see if I'm going for a sandwich, I'm going to M&S, and the only sandwiches they do is egg and crest, or the chicken and bacon. And before COVID they had a great selection, and now they don't.
They only have egg. Did you say egg crest? Did I make that up?
Egg, mayonnaise and cress, or chicken and bacon. This is gluten-free sandwich I'm talking about.
Oh, right. I was like, are you going to that thing like the day after when everything's £1.40? and you just have like all the stuff they didn't say.
No, I'm saying if I go for a gluten-free
sorry,
sandwich.
Sorry, what? I forgot the gluten-free. That was the whole point. Sorry.
Come on, I thought you were my celiac sister here. And you know what I mean? Basically, I can only go for that, and I'm sick and tired. But when you go touring, you need to stop at service stations. The only place I can go is M&S. You get sushi or you get the sandwiches, and it's I've had enough. I've had enough. It's just rubbish.
Glad getting you get
right, that's my nag. Sorry, right? Go on then. Hit me with it.
Do you know what's dead awkward? See the fact that that was your nag? Like, it's quite a medical one. I just don't feel we have anything for you. I mean, if we could fix things, we would, you know, but...
Nobody cares about my colon. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares about mine either, but I love talking about it. I just love... People are just like... It got to a point somebody wrote in and were like, stop talking about doing shites all the time. And I was like,
no, they did not. When?
Remember that woman asked me, that woman DM'd me on Twitter for IBS research? Oh, that she was asking me. See you at the door. See you at the door, your front door. I'm at your front door. Do a poo at your front door. What I was going to say, you can only eat so many egg and cress sandwiches before your body gives in. And by so many, I mean like three.
You can. The truth, right.
Surely that's not good for your bum, like with egg and cress. I'm saying bum try to be nicer because I don't want to see other
That's like how you'd speak to a cat.
I know. It's, sometimes Indian's fine, no bother. The only thing I can really have is naan bread, right?
No, good luck, Al. Jesus.
You go to the Chinese, pretty much game over. Unless there's select Chinese restaurants that are very, very good at cater for gluten free, but it's just a bit of a pain in the backside, literally. Do you know what I mean?
You're shaking your head, but you were the one in all the videos that I spotted doing the farts.
Oh, no, listen. I need to put up with him, right? And see, like, when you go on tour and all the rest and you travel across Europe or America and you're dragging in and out places, do you do gluten-free? No. Then it's 4 hours since you've had something to eat.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when you've started to search for something to eat and then you feel bad because you think, oh, I don't want to eat because Stevie can't eat. And then next thing you know, you're having a bowl of Rice Krispies or something at 11 o'clock at night.
You ever heard that thing, intermittent fasting?
Yes.
I invented that. It's absolutely murder. So all I'll say, hopefully people watching this, getting from my nag, is be a wee bit more appreciative and, you know, understanding. Hopefully one day I'm going to get right to the top and I'm going to make gluten-free, you know, mandatory in all places.
Well done.
You've got the platform. Start the campaign, Stevie.
That, amen.
Gluten-free Steve. Here we go.
Right. Are you finished?
That's me finished. There you
right,
go.
Good.
Right,
I've got two, right, because he said about the pictures of
Facebook
the
mods.
Kids going up the Facebook mods. I don't know, it's just recent, right, but see people getting balloons for everything, like, here's my Wayne's first shite, and there's a fucking balloon parade, right?
Or cards.
Aye.
Or just cards, like, you don't need cards. A birthday card or a get well. You don't need cards.
There's nothing worse when you open up a card and do you know what I mean?
Anyway, balloons.
Oh, no, guys, I disagree. I love a card.
I love a card as well, but how funny is it when you get a card with money in it and you have to pretend to read the card like all the money's not, you're not looking at it?
Well, there's no money in it, you just go.
You're gutted.
Shite.
Cards if you're a kid, then fair enough because you get money in them, right? But see if And it would be awkward, but if you're old, if you're or somebody instead of gives you a card, just slaps a tenner in your hand, that's a bit.
You know what I mean? The worst insult is, and I don't know if you've ever felt this, when a grandparent gives you a card with no money in it, that's when you know that it's game over.
My grandparent would never do that to me. She would never do it to me.
Here you go.
A few times.
I'm talking from experience. It happened once to me, I thought he's forgotten. He's definitely forgotten, but he never followed it up.
Honestly,
tough to take.
That's
the rough. Thing in the balloon parade that's happening recently, there's balloons for everyone, and that really annoys me.
Do you know what? It's dead funny that you bring this up because I literally had a chat with my pal Stephen, who is putting on a very exciting baby shower for his sister, and he can't wait for it. And he told me that he spent, wait for this, 750 quid on balloons. And before he even got to that stage, he didn't even get to the price. He went like that to me, Cass, see you after the baby shower, because I'm DJing at it. He went, do you want to take some of these balloons away? I'm thinking, what the fuck am I going to do with them?
£750?
Because I'm paying 750 quid.
Right, I'm going to say to that person, Think how many nappies that person could buy. Think the food.
Oh my think God, that's true.
Bono over here.
That's oh no. Bono. Think
of feed the world.
750 quid in balloons. What the biggest waste of money ever?
Calm down, man.
Jeez, no. Oh, that really annoys me, hearing that.
Right.
I can't even go to sleep at night.
So you can message him and just tell him what you think.
Right, okay.
Hear your opinions. One is, when, and Stevie does this, and it really annoys me, because... Mm. Well, see when somebody's going to the toilet, Randy said, I need the toilet. Or they'll say, I need a poo. See when you say the word poo,
oh, it's not
you
good.
Just know it's going to be stinking, mm-hmm. right?
Okay.
You can't open the toilet after that person. It really, really, really gets on my nerves because I go, I can use that toilet for another 2 days.
But what happened to the gate 5 minutes and then...
five minutes?
That's, I think that's worse because see when somebody, like, if not... Like, if somebody's come out the toilet and say, give that 5 minutes, that reminds me of Shrek. That's something Shrek would say.
You know what I can't do? Do you want to know what one of the things that I've got a problem with? Like, see if we're on tour or whatever, I'm travelling about and I need to go to a public toilet or a service station toilet, right? And see if I get in and sit down and have to take a shit. See, I have to wait. These somebody's going to take a pee and wash their hands. I have to wait till they leave before I go because I can't make eye contact with that person knowing them.
Knowing what they're about to go into.
I need to make sure there's nobody there because I feel embarrassed. I don't want to make any eye contact with somebody knowing that I've just slammed one out.
Can I add something? This is so niche. But have you guys, because I don't know how old both of you are, but have you ever seen Friday, I won't go to the bathroom and it goes for a bad 35 to 45 minutes. Moving on.
See when you go to like an airport toilet and there's a queue.
I honestly think, see if somebody says, I'm going to do the toilet, I hate that. I'm going to go to the toilet. What are you doing? It's the doing word, it's the verb that I don't like. I don't like the activeness of it. I'm going to do the toilet.
Bit aggressive.
Yeah, it is.
I'll say, I'm going to use the loo. That's what I'll say.
No.
Do you want to know a true story?
Narnia.
Nathan Evans came in, done a job in there, there's no lock on. The bravery, there's three of us in a room. Andy could have walked in because it's like a small room.
Oh,
but he...
Please tell me, it's off to sea. There once was a shit that put to sea.
God.
Fucking hell.
That is confidence though. Do you know what another level of boldness is? If you're sitting in somebody's house and there's a group of you and somebody goes off and does a shite, or if...
I genuinely don't like to do that. Like, as I'm saying, I get awkward if someone's...
Yeah.
Someone will, like, if I said to you, I can't make eye contact with you, I need to make sure someone's not there if I'm coming out of a public toilet, but getting to somebody's house, no, I can't do that.
What?
I've heard about that. When have I took a shite in your house? You kidding on? And when you're there, no, when Louise is there.
Listen... My wife's birthday party, right, during lockdown. So I've got the in-laws, right, I've got all the family, and it's just after lockdown, so everybody's just allowed at the house in August, right? So I was like, I'll just have a small get-together, the full street was having parties, right? I thought, this is great, right, this is good atmosphere. Anyway, Stevie's in.
Stevie, you look nervous.
Mr. Celiac, Mr. Eggcrest.
True. No, but basically, Alan ordered munchie boxes, right, for everybody.
No.
I'm not allowed munchie boxes, right? But I had the
pakoras. Like a small child.
The pakoras gluten free, but I happened to have a couple of wee bits of Donna, right? And the living room was packed. Happy birthday to you. I'm not joking. I let out this fart, right? It was absolutely right. And then all of a sudden, my dad just turns around and goes, fucking hell, COVID-19 has putrid-19. That'll send us back to London. And then next minute, Alan's in-laws. I was crying with laughter. I was like, I'm just doing it. I'm just going for it. And the looks of disgust in their face.
Emptied the full house.
Emptied the room.
Standing outside because they can't come in the house.
Just nobody could seek shelter anywhere.
It was so bad.
Funny. Bold as brass, this year.
Legendary.
Here we are talking about it today. That could be a brag. That wasn't a nag. That was a brag. No.
Oh, yeah. Right, okay, so after your legendary fart, it leads us nicely into brags. What are your brags this week?
Brags. I guess the brag just now. We've got to milk it. We're getting played all over the radio. We're all over the telly. It's fantastic. It's kind of a thing. Alan put up a post last night about we use the song for therapy and a process dealing with obviously our dad passing away. And we didn't have any idea what was going to happen, or we just thought, let's just do this song. And the fact that it's sort of grown arms and legs and went everywhere, and we managed to sign a record deal off the back of it. It's just brilliant. So I think we are being very humble and very appreciative and grateful that we've had this opportunity. But we are loving every minute of, you know, everything else that comes with it. And the fact that it is everywhere, that's pretty amazing.
So the last, what, 6, 7 months has been a total with regards to the radio play, unreal.
We are
all down to somebody, by the way. Thank you very much.
Well, no, it's not really just me. I mean, I know, do you know what though? I'm gonna say this
That's why
on
she
the
brought this
podcast,
up.
because when I went on air and I said, oh, Happy Place, like, you know, but I didn't even talk about Happy Place. I was more talking about your performance at Transmit, which absolutely blew me away. I think it's because I was so surprised because I knew Happy Place, the song, but then when I went to see you live, all your other stuff was just not like it. Like, it was a lot more full on, a lot more rocky. And I spoke about it on air the next day, Happy Place on the playlist. And then from there on, boom, 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 like every day. In fact, I think it gets like about 10 plays a day.
It's brilliant. The stars have aligned. It's like basically, see, when you're in a band, right? All you want to do is sign a record deal. That's it. Doesn't matter, right? All you want to do is sign a record deal. That's the goal for anybody. And then once you manage to do that and you get a plan in place, the biggest thing for bands or artists is to get out touring and get in front of people and also get radio play. It's the two biggest things you need. So the fact that you are driving in your car and you turn on the radio and Happy Place plays, or you're going to a shop and Happy Place is playing, or it's unbelievable. It really is. Can't thank everybody enough, like you guys and George and all the rest of the DJs and for playing it, because it really is brilliant.
And now you're talking about a Christmas song.
Oh,
Yes. Roshan, I bet you get a Christmas tree up already.
No, I don't.
That could be a petty hate. That could be a nag. That's a nag.
Yeah, Roisin's a big fan of the song, aren't you, Roisin?
I was listening to it last night.
Were
Fixing
you?
to Cassie. Yeah.
No, Cassie! But wait, did I not sing it to you a while ago, Roisin?
You could have played this off as a joke. And now we're here and we're fully in it. Here's the
No,
thing.
you said to me a while ago, Roisin, remember it was about 5 months ago when you first heard it? It sounded a bit like
You want to go down this? I said the video.
You can
The
hear
video
that.
was giving me, the song. I like the song.
I didn't see it. What is it?
The one that's like by the people that sing We Are Young, but they're all in the army.
Aye.
You think a Black Parade, My Chemical Romance?
No,
No.
I'm not.
Are you thinking of
I am.
In the Army?
Oh, you're
No.
thinking that? You think it's like Dad's Army? That was who we were in. That's shocking.
No, there's. I'll say. Oh, guys, I'll send you. I'll send you, and you'll know what I mean. It was
Right.
just. It was more the costumes.
All
The
right.
costumes, right? Okay. So you're not liking the costumes. Is that what you're saying? We need to
No,
change
I
it
like the
up.
costume. I like the costume. I thought it was fun. Is it ever a bit awkward being in a music video? I think I'd be embarrassed. But
Aye,
that's a me problem.
Embarrassing, aye. And
Is it?
it's don't
Where
like
did
it.
you film that? The video for Happy Place?
Campsie Hills.
Yes, correct.
Oh.
The dummy next to the Wallace
That's.
Pond.
Oh my God. I was.
Yeah.
Right. I swear to God, I was going to say that because I'm from Dunblane.
Where did you
That
go?
is. I've been up that hill about twice.
People are walking their dogs, they're all walking behind you, and we've got a speaker, and we're trying to mime to this song.
Is
And
that how it works?
you just got to mime, you just got to go, and then halfway
People
up.
must
Oh.
have thought yous were TikTokers
I
doing
don't
your
know, people
thing.
do
Do
that.
that thing. But do you know when you mime, do you do that thing where you don't sing it fully? So it's like if I'm in the house and I'm listening to a song and I'm not fully going for it because my neighbor's next door and the walls are like paper thin and you're like, over the hill. Like, do
Aye.
you sort of.
If you go like you're just miming with nothing coming out, it looks fake. So you've got to get, you can't go full
No.
bung because you just look like an absolute tit. I've no auto tune in the hill. So find the sweet spot and then just go for it.
There's
Shooting
that
that.
Scottish thing though as well, right? So when you're filming, you always get somebody in behind the camera and they're like this. In
Oh,
a video.
I know. It's like that guy. I hate Iceland. That news reporter.
Stevie did almost die because
Oh.
the director didn't know what he wanted us to film.
he was doing the drone shots with the faraway drone shots. He said, "Can you go up here?" I fell over and I almost fell off a cliff. By the way,
it is quite steep.
Alan grabbed my ankle and pulled me back. He just started laughing and then genuinely almost died. It's good fun, I guess, all round.
I can't control the colour of my face, right? So anytime we do interviews or anything like that, I'll be fine. I'll go, right, 3, 2, 1, bang, and then I've got a big beetroot face. It just turned purple. Somebody actually commented on our TikTok live the other day, who's Mr. Blobby in the back? Because I'm not big, right, but I had a big purple and patchy face.
Stung with a wasp.
And I was like, this is bang out, man.
People on TikTok are horrific, but it's because you see them and they're actually all like 11 years old and they've not had internet safety and they just go for
it. Imagine being all right. We definitely do not take ourselves seriously at all. Now, that kind of stuff doesn't bother us at all, honestly. Any comments or any stuff for that, we don't really bother with it at all. It's fine. I'll throw you back. I'll bother you.
When I watched you guys at Transmit and you put on like this phenomenal show, you were saying that Al had never sang in his life and I was totally believing it and I felt as if like...
Say that every show.
That shatters my dreams. When I come to see you in November, it'll be the same kind of setup.
Aye, because I'll say that and you go, you're full of shite. I heard that.
I know, I will. You know, you lose yourself at a gig. You look back, you get so embarrassed about how you were. Your gig was that for me. I was right at the front.
You were at my right-hand side, I saw you.
Yes, immersing myself in all the action. And then when you said, oh, Al can't sing, I was like, come on, Al!
That's what I need, because I'm really nervous when it comes to that bit.
Because what happened with us is another podcast. It's so long and unbelievable, to be fair. But once we started St. Phoenix, it was just an idea, right? There was nothing. We had no idea what we sounded like live, what we'd look like, all the rest. We had a couple of songs. And we got these big booking agents right at the start. Mm-hmm. Every record label, every booking agent came to see us. And that happened for about 2 or 3 years where we were just doing a two-piece and it was all over the place, right? There was nothing planned, choreography or no structure to the live performance. Then we added John, the guitarist, to the band, which brought a new element to live. And really felt good. But we went on tour with Youngblood in America. And the first show we did, Atlanta, we played and we came off and went, oh, that was good. We played good there. And then he played right after us and he was phenomenal. And we went, fucking hell, we need to up our game. We are miles off it. And if you saw that show for the first time, you'd think, fucking hell, that was amazing. And the reason was because he had perfected everything. And if you looked at his photographs after the show, they were all amazing. It's because the photographer knew where to be because he does it every night. And that's how he gets good photos. That's how he gets the crowd interacting. And that's how it kind of works. You do things that are a wee bit off the cuff, but it definitely works out better for a better show if it's kind of structured.
Structured, yeah, that's a better word for it. That's what I actually spoke about mostly to George. I was like, I went to see St. Phoenix and it was just unreal. You know that way I think they just think automatically happy place and then think maybe is it all kind of slower songs and then that's when I had to describe they've got It's King, isn't it, one of them. I think that was one of my favorites. So yeah, there were so many songs that you introduced me to where I was just like, oh my god, buzzing, and now I listen to you on Spotify.
Guys, sorry, my Wi-Fi cut out for like probably 4 minutes, but did you say you wore two-piece suits when you did a tour with Youngblood?
Did I wear a two-piece suit?
You did. No, a tour with Youngblood.
But when we originally started doing live, we were a two-piece. And then we added John, and now when we play live, he's a guitarist, but a three-piece.
We were three-piece suits.
And we were three-piece suits.
Canadian tuxedos.
Roisin, you're going to have to come to the gig now in November.
You have to come, Roisin.
Yes.
Yeah, I do have to come. I'll be there with a three-piece suit on.
The only thing is, it's a wee bit awkward because the two girls that I'm going with, we've made it a pact now that the two girls that I was with that
not
night,
to invite me.
Not to invite Roisin, not only that, but we have now got our thing where it's us that come to see you. So like we're going to be like the trio fan group. So I don't know, Roisin, if you can. You could go on your own.
That was the worst invite ever. That's the worst invite I've ever had in my life.
Best pals do a podcast together but just don't hang out. That's shocking.
We made it a pact actually, that you weren't going to come. Who was it? Who was the three you were with?
Courtney and Paula.
Courtney likes me.
Courtney thinks you're hilarious, actually. Courtney loves you.
So what's the issue? The issue, it sounds like
there's
no.
Sorry, I need to talk to the girls. We need to have a chat about it.
Word, Roisin, do you want to sort out for you? We'll speak to
you. And I'll be up the front.
We'll mediate it. And say,
thanks, guys.
What is your problem with Roisin? She's bloody brilliant. We've just done a podcast. What a laugh.
Guys, thanks. Actually, I'll be there. And see, when you were talking about, I feel like though when you were saying just really go for it on stage, it's more embarrassing these sort of things if you didn't go for it. Like, can you imagine going to a gig and somebody was like shuffling their feet? Like that is even worse. It's the same with the music videos. If you didn't go full, it would just be.
It's kind of like radio when you listen to Jaws and Cassie. It's 6 a.m, but they have to be animated because you know you have to amplify it. It's the same in a music video. The same.
Add a little bit of spice to it.
Exactly, a bit of salt, you know, and then it's like. That's what you do live because the crowd play off your energy. If you're given something that's a bit lackadaisical and a bit boring, then the crowd are going to, but if you go on and make a splash, then they're either going to love you or they'll, you know, a week later they'll be still talking about you. See that guy going mental on stage? What an idiot. You're still talking about me.
See, so, when you go on tours and stuff, is it hard to do, like, how long do they last? And is it hard when, like, you're just absolutely knackered?
Well, we did 2019, we were away, we did America 5 times. We did a wee mini tours of Panic in the Disco. So we supported them in 4 nights around Europe, which is good. Then we come back and we went to see 21 Pilots at the Hydro, and our phones go and we check the email and it's like, do you want to support Youngblood on his sold out tour across America for 3 months?
Oh my God.
So it was May, June, July. We had the best time of our life. It was absolutely
name drop, man.
Name drop. Mike.
Oh my God, no! I love you.
Just
need
pick
to
up
do
those
it.
Names.
Yeah, you know, that's man. You got to sell the sizzle, Al. So you do that.
That's amazing.
That sounds class. Then
we were coming to the end of it, and he grabs us and he says, "Do you want to come on tour with me around Europe for 5 weeks?" As soon as we come back for Youngblood, we get a phone call from Lewis Capaldi and he says, do you want to come to America for 5 weeks? And we're like, we've just been to America. Do we go back?
Aye.
We went back and we did America and Canada with Lewis Capaldi for 5 weeks and that was unreal.
But you must miss your families massively when you go away.
I think when you go to America, it's very, very tough. Going away, we're both married, I've got a young family. I was actually laughing to my missus today because we're talking about it. She's phoning to see how things are. We're in New Orleans. We're all steaming. I got my ears pierced and she was going off or not. But she's phoning to say, how is it? And you can hear kids screaming in the back. And I'm going, it's terrible, darling. It's absolutely, I miss you so much. But when you go to America, it's tough because you're away for so long. When we come back to Lewis Capaldi, we did 5 weeks with Youngblood across Europe, and there was like days in between where we had the days off, so we just got book an easy jet flight back for the day.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
We'd split it up, so we did that. So it is tough, especially going away. Our dad wasn't well as well, going away when he wasn't feeling too good, because you miss him and you miss your mum and that. But
that's the power of FaceTime in that, though.
Oh, aye.
That's the power of having.
It's hard as well if there's time differences when you're away and you're like speaking and then they're going to bed and you're waking up and you're doing this and you're doing a show.
Yeah.
There's always something happens, right? So my dishwasher broke when I was waiting for my downstairs. Then we were in the Capaldi tour and I got a phone call. We were traveling somewhere across like Canada or something. And my wife Louise phones me. She's like, the boiler's broke. I can't believe this. There's black stuff coming out the boiler and all that. And I'm like, I'm fucking in Montreal. What can I do to fix this boiler?
And I'm steaming.
You know? There's tons of stuff like that. And you go, it's just like you're in a dreamland and then real life kicks you in the balls. That's what happens.
Yeah. Do you have an agent that gets, like, do they just, like, email you and they're like, do I come on tour? Is that how it works?
Well, was it Lewis personally that asked you?
Well, what happens is when you're in a band, the process of becoming just a regular band and becoming, you know, a recording artist and a performer, you usually get a lawyer, you get a booking agent, And you get management. Those are the three type of things you get, and then hopefully a record deal follows suit. But yeah, we've got the same agent as Youngblood, and we kind of knew with mutual parties, kind of knew each other management wise, and that's how that kind of obviously liked the music. So that's how that came about. Lewis Capaldi wise, we've known Lewis for, so we were in a band called Vigo Thieves years ago, and
Yeah, somebody reminded me of this. Who was it? Callum Morrison. I don't know if you know him. I don't know him.
So we were in Vigo Thieves for years, and we used to play Bathgate in front of five people, and Lewis Capaldi would be our support act.
Oh, that's mad.
Mad.
Wow.
When he was about 13, aye,
Oh,
14,
my God.
mental. And then, so I've known him for years, and before he was massive, right before he was massive, I wrote a song with him in Berkeley in Glasgow. It's my manager for him. He says, "You know Lewis Capaldi?" I says, "Aye." This is how. He says, "He's going to be huge." I says, "Lewis, is he?" He says, "Yeah, he's going to be massive. He's got some big songs. He's been working hard and all the rest." But we're just getting doing songwriting sessions with him. Do you want to write a song? So I went to Berkeley, wrote a song with him. I was just talking to him. He was wanting to be get a record deal and be big and stuff. And I said, "Let me hear your stuff. What you've been doing?" He showed me, and I was like, "Fucking hell, you're going to be the biggest star on the
You're gonna
planet."
be a star, kid.
Unbelievable. Yeah, exactly. Didn't say that Irish accent, but.
Smoking a cigar.
And then he just blew up, and then when it came to the point where he was blown up, and then someone you love was starting to do well in America. I was going on tour there, like a week before,
9 days,
9 days
nine
before the
days.
tour started, just got a phone call. He said, "Do you want to go and support Lewis?" And I was like, "Absolutely." So we need to get our visas sorted. We need to get all everything else. Sorted, because it costs you an arm and a leg to go and tour America with four guys. So to get that all sorted, and then boom, we were away. And that was again,
Some boy, by the way, what a
so I
laugh.
mean, oh, we've had some of the best. I mean, we're lucky that we've supported a good few big acts and met a lot of people in music, and we've never came across MD that's an arsehole, which is really, really surprising. You hear a lot of horror stories, but everybody's been brilliant. But Lewis especially, just the best,
Well,
brilliant.
that's nice. It's nice. It's obviously your attitude going into it as well, though.
I think like we have heard some horror stories of people will not mention American stars who will play gigs, and they'll tell all the
Staff.
staff and all the crew to keep, when we're walking by, or we're walking through the corridors, you have to all to keep your heads down and not look at us.
What if they
That's
face
the
mad.
wall. And it's
Aye.
like that.
Aye. Wait, look at what at the support acts.
No, like the all the crew and everybody working in the venue. See, it's a hydro. The artist doesn't want the staff to talk to them. They want, and if they're walking near them, to keep their head down or face the wall. And I'm like, I don't understand that.
It's so stupid because you forget that these people that you're telling not to talk to, you've got pals and families that they'll go home and say, by the way.
He's a cock. I think it's just Scottish people are genuinely all good working class people, and treat people like you want to be treated. That's basically what I'm trying to say. I think that's so important.
So you guys are absolutely massive on TikTok. I follow you, but it's not just for like all your music stuff. Stevie, you love to do the videos about Scottish translations and they seem to go viral every time. How did
Yes.
this start?
It's not something that I love to do. I don't want to be
Oh,
like when I
don't
go.
you love it? Don't say you love it.
Cassie asked me a question when you're talking. Sorry, when I was up at, it's happened to me a good few times now, and I've been out, and they go, "Oh, big man, you're that guy." And I say, "Aye, that's right." Thinking, "Oh, you're a guy that sings Happy Place." "Oh, you're a guy for TikTok." I'm like, "Oh, for fuck's sake." Don't want to be known for doing TikToks. But what happened was our manager last year kept saying, "You need to get on TikTok." They manage a guy that basically got signed just off having 1 million TikTok followers, get a record deal. That's what they were looking at, because during COVID, you couldn't get out and play live or anything. It was like TikTok's the way forward. So I'm saying, "I'm not doing TikTok. TikTok's an app for kids. It's dancing and all the rest." He says, "Listen, there's a ways to grow your fan base. Get on TikTok." So I said, "Right, okay, I'll have a look." So I started doing acoustic covers and singing.
Shite.
Shite, nobody liked it. I couldn't believe it, honestly. I was like a stab in the heart. And then I was like, I can't figure this TikTok thing. I don't know what to do. He's like,
it's the shit you least expect.
Oh, it's mental. And then for some reason, I stumbled across Scottish TikTok and just seen it was red hot and it was doing really, really well. And I thought, I'm just going to fucking try some. Don't care. So I did how Scottish people say these words. That's what I said. And I just did, like, Google Translate was a word, and then I would say the Scottish version of it. And it just went viral. And I went, fucking hell, that's the way forward. So I just started doing that. And then anything that we can possibly do that's popular on TikTok, I'll just put a sort of Scottish sort
put
of
a
Scottish
kilt on it.
On it, aye, and it works. And it's kind of helped us find out what also is in a band, what people like about us and what people are there to see. You know, yes, it's the music, but we want to just show off, you know, light-hearted, not take ourselves too serious. People like us because we're Scottish. They like the accent and just having a laugh. And it's a very, very, very scary, scary place, TikTok. I'll say that.
I've been banned 3 times.
It's like what have you been banned for?
Shoney's arse.
I did the nudity. Weekend dance. Remember that? Blinding lights.
Yeah.
I did that, got my arse out, got banned off it for 2 weeks. Then got my arse out again, get banned off it. And then the last time I got a notification in saying you've violated our community guidelines, whatever. I had to challenge it because there's so many thirsty ass women out there and thirsty ass guys who have got no clothes on, right? And the only thing I was doing was a Christmas, Merry Christmas thing, and there's a picture of me or video of me in an elf's outfit doing a pee in the woods with my trousers down to my ankles, right? And it got banned. You couldn't see anything, but I get banned off it because it said it violating. And I thought, so many videos I see that are thirsty ass, that I think I actually put thirsty ass bitches on TikTok. Anyway, get my video back on, I get back online. So
hey!
Can keep a good guy down.
But TikTok is a different, it's the Wild West, it's mental.
Roisin and I were chatting, some Scottish words we're proud of, and then there's some Scottish words that were just a bit like, they're quite cringe.
Give me the words that are cringe and I'll tell you if I think they are.
What were we saying last night? I've established nothing. I can't say anything because I speak like somebody's old fucking dad.
You're working with, there's a wee guy up where we come from and we were writing some songs with him and he always says saws and laws.
No.
Like, and I'm like,
saws, bro. And he also
saws,
says,
bro, Johnny, you can't say that, man. You
something's good, and he says, it's potent.
It's potent.
That's potent,
it's
bro.
It's potent, man. And I don't know what's going on with this.
I think that would be, if somebody said that, I would think that would be like, that's not a good thing in my books.
No.
Potent means that something is stinking.
Really? Yeah. Like a strong smell.
Yes, indeed.
Can I have an example of what he puts that? Like, where does he put that word?
Like, so if we write a lyric or a song, he'll say, well, that's potent. Just a young guy, but it must be just a generational thing. They're bringing it back.
Bringing it back? It was never in.
I suppose so. But he's using the saws and the logs and the potents and all the rest of it.
I've never heard anybody say potent.
Aye. It's maybe just like a look thing, I don't know.
Could no, be. It's definitely not.
But it's ridiculous either way.
Things like hoaching.
What's the
I don't know.
Hoaching. Oh, I like that.
I would say it was, I would probably say that.
Some of them are quite cringy, but see what happens is, I just pretty much say, I just think that everybody's got a Glaswegian accent and that's how we say it. And you got all the people who fight and Fraser Brown, that's it. I didn't say that, Ken, eh? I don't talk like that, eh? It's like, calm down, it's only a joke.
Do you not get annoying people that comment just stuff? Because, right, so I make, I make videos, my outfits are just me saying, oh, this is what I'm going to wear today. Do you know somebody the other day with the username A Honkin' Jobby commented saying that jacket's not worth it for £75? And I was like, do you know what? It's fucking not. I sent it back. A Honkin' Jobby. I was
do you
like,
know where that came from, A Honkin' Jobby?
Yes. Change Rom's Facebook name to.
Change it back. Genius.
That's so funny.
That's why Scottish social media is hands down the best.
Somebody commented asking if I was from Finland.
Did
I was
they?
Like, no.
Are we
Finland,
we get Australian.
Irish and Australian.
Australian?
I've heard that before. I've had Korean, because I look Korean, but...
Alan looks like my mum's brother, our Uncle John. We call him Uncle Jizz, and he hates that. But anyway, Alan looks like our Uncle Jizz, and Alan, he says it's not. He said, please.
I
stop
wouldn't like being called Uncle Jez either. Uncle I Jez. Think that's fair
kids
enough.
Might stop calling me Uncle Jez. Is that whatever Uncle Jez got on with? Anyway, true story. My uncle went to New York, got in a taxi, and the taxi driver looked in the rearview mirror and went, "Hey, what part of Korea are you from?" He's at Glasgow, mate. True story.
Can't unsee it now, and I never thought it before. Well, thanks so much for joining Roisin and I on the Nags and Brags podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure having you both.
Thank you for having us. We'll
really see you in November.
See you in November.
Yes. You know, I'll be the one standing on my own.
Yeah, you'll be the one in the corner.
With a suit on.
Cassie plus three plus one.
But remember to keep them separate.
Right, well, we'll do. We'll sort that out. Marty, we've got your guest list. We'll sort
I've chinned Stevie because Stevie will see somebody in Asda and like, oh, you come to a gig? No, can you get so cut off?
You ever seen the car dealers at Vegas and all like that? That's me with the guest list. So I need to rein it in. These are all sorted. Don't worry about it.
Oh, thanks, guys. Well, that's
all
brilliant.
I need is just somebody to stand next to.
We'll put you and Billy on.
Billy will already have a ticket for me, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And he'll be at my door.
It's behind you.
It was so nice to meet you both.
Yeah, it's been a bloody pleasure. It's been great.
All good.
Thanks, guys.
See you later.
I was going to end that with, should we hit the hay? My dad joke.
Thanks for listening to the Nags and Brags podcast. If you are enjoying what you're hearing, let us know at Nags and Brags Podcast on Instagram. You can also follow us on our own pages as well, at Pals Before Gals for Roisin, at CassCassG for myself. And let us know what you think. Spread the word, tell your friends, and hopefully we'll see you on the next episode.